As people said,
amen.
Amen. Indeed, worthy is the Lamb to be worshipped, honored, and praised. This morning, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joel, Joel chapter 3, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 9. Joel chapter 3, beginning in verse number 9. I heard a story once of an older farmer out in the country who in the area that he lived, they had a new pastor. The new pastor was going around from house to house and greeting everybody, letting them know that he's in the community, that he is available to help in any way he can, to pray for people. And he came upon this older farmer, and he looked at him and he says, farmer, he says, I just got to ask you this morning. He says, just this question. He says, are you a Christian? And the farmer looked at him and he says, no, I'm not a Christian. He said, the Christians live about two houses down the road. And the pastor looked at him again. He says, no, no, you don't understand. He says, I want to know, are you lost? And the farmer says, I'm not lost. He says, I've lived here all my life. He says, I know all these back roads. I know exactly where I am. And the farmer says, no, no, what I really want to know, are you ready for the judgment day? And the farmer says, the judgment day, when is it? And the pastor says, well, it could be today. It could be tomorrow. And the old farmer says, well, let me know when you find out, because I'm sure my wife will want to go to both days. Are you ready for the judgment day? You know, it really is a serious question for us today. Are we ready? And have we asked our friends, our family, our neighbors, are you ready for the judgment day? Joel chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, in honor of the word of God, may we stand together for the reading of his holy word. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare a war. Rouse the mighty men. Let all the soldiers draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a mighty man. Hasten and come, all you surrounding nations, and gather yourselves there. Bring down, O Lord, your mighty ones. Let the nations be aroused and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge. All the surrounding nations, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth tremble, but the Lord is the refuge for his people and a stronghold to the sons of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. So Jerusalem will be holy, and strangers will pass through it no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings on the word and the blessings on the proclamation of his holy word. Greg Casey, will you please lead us in prayer? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you haven't looked around, if you haven't noticed, we are living in a time, we're living in an age where so many people are anti-God, against God, against the things of God, against the ways of God, against the will of God, against the word of God. Everywhere we look, people are against God, and they're coming up with their own theology. They're coming up with their own gods, and they're saying, how can a loving God be such a wrathful God, be such an angry God? Well, like no other place, we find some answers in the text, in the scriptures, right here in the book of Joel, chapter 3, and beginning in verse 9. And so the first thing that he is teaching us, the first thing that we are hearing, is that for those who are anti-God, get ready. Go ahead, get ready. Go ahead and muster up all the strength, muster up all the intelligence, muster up all the media, muster up all that you have that you can come against God. And go ahead, bring it on, God says, and bring it against the God Almighty. And he tells the Israelites to proclaim it amongst the nations. Tell them to get their weaponry ready. Go ahead. In our modern age, tell them to get the media ready. Go ahead in our modern age, tell them to get their intelligence ready. Argue the point. Bring it on. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning forks into spears. And let the weak say, the weakest nation say, I am strong. I can do this. And gather yourselves together. Gather yourselves together and bring yourselves against the Holy One of Israel. Bring yourselves against God Almighty. Now, the scriptures tell us in other places also that there is an evil force that is coming against our God. There are people that are coming against the Holy One of Israel, and they're coming to wage war against him. In Psalm chapter 2, the psalmist writes, why are you nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. So there is a plan being put into motion. There is a storm that is gathering. And the storm that is gathering, the storm that is brewing, is the people that are against God are coming as a mighty warrior, as a mighty war to against the God of heaven, against the Holy One of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 13, we read this. The oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw, lift up a standard on the bare hill, raise your voice to them, wave the hand that they may enter the doors of the nobles. I have commanded my consecrated ones. I have even called my mighty warriors, my proudly exulting ones, to execute my anger. The day is coming when all hell will break loose. And all evil forces will muster up, will get together and come against God and God's chosen ones. But notice in this scripture, go ahead, he says, get ready, for the wrath of God, the judgment of the God, the anger of God is going to come against those in that day. And notice this, the God of heaven always wins. He's God, and he always wins. And again, no matter what kind of intelligence you can muster, no matter what kind of media, no matter what kind of forces you can muster, God always wins. And we are here today in this place to worship the God of Israel because he is God and we are not. We don't understand everything, but he is God and we are not. He does not always do exactly what we want him to do, but he's God. We're not. And he created us. He made us. And you're there saying, well, why? How can God be such a God who loves and yet such a God who is angry? Such a God who is a God of wrath and judgment. J.I. Packer, I mentioned him the other Sunday, a man that I really admire, a great theologian. I believe the last time I checked, he was 97 years old, still reading the Word of God and studying it every day. He wrote this, there are few things stressed more strongly in the Bible than God's work as judge. So you can't read the Bible. And this is the problem with America today. This is the problem with the church today. We're not reading the Bible. We are not in the Word of God. You cannot read the Word of God. You cannot read the Bible without noticing this fact that God Almighty's work is the work as a judge over this world. Why? Why, you say, is God going to come against and God is going to bring forth wrath, and God is going to bring forth judgment. Someone once said that God is like a God who sits on two pillars, and one of the pillars is love and the other pillar is anger. One of the pillars is love and the other pillars is anger, because God is a perfect God. He is a holy God. God can't just go forth loving and then ignore, overlook the evil, the sin that is in this world. As I was studying the Holocaust, I came across a couple of interviews with people who had been in Auschwitz, in the concentration camp. And they underwent experiments by a man by the name of Joseph Mengele. Perhaps you've heard of him. And historians tell us, and people that witnessed this man said that he was a young man. He was a sharp-minded man. He was always dressed very nice, always had good, rich cologne on. Juliet and I were in Walmart yesterday, and a young man walked past us, and we both about fainted. He had too much cologne on. I mean, I'd like to see that bill that he pays for cologne. Well, Mengele was that type of guy. They said perhaps the reason he had this nice-smelling cologne on was because as he was in his place of work, business, in Auschwitz, looking into the microscope every day, outside was the stench of bodies that were being burned. And there's 400,000 bodies, of which that he was the one who said, yes, take this one and kill them. Mengele was a man who was very interested in children, children's diseases. He was particularly interested in twins. And he would take twins and he would interject one thing into one twin and one to the other and see what would happen. One of the interviews I saw and read about was a woman who her sister died in Auschwitz, but she survived. And her question was, why did I survive and my sister have to die? He would many times paralyze the children and then extract organs from their bodies and see what they would live. So I won't go any further than that, but to say that he did horrible, terrible monstrosities in that place of Auschwitz. And the question is not, how can God be an angry God? The question is, how can God allow something as horrible as that and overlook it? Brothers and sisters, our God is not going to overlook it. Our God will not pass over it, because the God of love is also a God of anger and a God of wrath. And the day is coming when God will execute his judgment on the earth. And Jesus speaks to this. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, in Matthew's gospel, I believe it's chapter 25, and Jesus is speaking of the time to get ready. Be ready, for the time is coming. He says, be on alert. Notice that all these things are coming to fruition. He gives the parable of the virgins, the parable of the talents, and then the judgment is going to come. He says in verse 31 of chapter 25, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him and will separate, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then go on in drop down to verse 41. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So the day is coming when the judge, God Almighty, God, the one who came to live and die for us, is coming again, and he will separate the righteous from the unrighteous, and he will judge the unrighteous, and they will be set apart. The Bible says this will take place in the valley of Jehoshaphat. What does Jehoshaphat mean? It means that Yeshua is the judge. Yeshua judges. And the Bible tells us here that in verse 14, multitudes in the valley of decision, or multitudes in the valley of Jehoshaphat, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of Jehoshaphat. When the decision is going to be made, who's going to be making the decision? God will be making the decision over who will inherit eternal life and who will go into the lake of fire. For the day is coming. Notice again, the Bible says in verse 13, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. What is the harvest? The harvest is wickedness. What is sin? Sin is the seed that grows into the fruit. And it grows into the fruit, and we're going to call that fruit hell, right? The fruit of sin is hell. The fruit of anti-God in my life is hell apart from him for all eternity. So God says you don't want me. God says you refuse me. God says you're doing everything you can to come against me. Then you will be cast into the lake of fire. You will be cast into hell forever and ever in torment, in torture, because I, the God who is a God of love, but also a God of wrath, I will not be there. So the wrath will be there, but the love, right, will not be there. The love will be with those who are with him in all eternity. So as a person here today, we see the text. Go ahead, muster up what you can. Come against God. But God's going to win. So the question is, are you truly ready to meet the day of judgment? That day in the valley, and there's this valley that surrounds Jerusalem. It's a great valley. The day the Bible says it's going to be filled with people. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to see him in the valley of decision? And him say, either you're to my right and you are with me for eternity, or you're to my left. Depart, for I never knew you. And the only way that we can be there is to be righteous. You say, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, there is none righteous, for we all sin, right? Every person in this room is a sinner. Huxley back there, my good buddy, he's been born in the nature of sin. And he's probably already sinned, but if he hadn't, he's sure going to, right? And to the oldest person in the room, there's still sin in our lives. To your pastor, I still deal with the problem of sin. We're all, as Christian people, working to become more like Jesus. And as we worship him, as we study his word, as we pray, each and every day, the goal is that we're growing to be more and more like Jesus. But as long as we're on this side of heaven, we will not be perfected, right? We will not be just like the Christ. But the day is coming when the righteous will be just like him. How are we righteous? The theologians call it imputed righteous, right? We don't deserve it, but it's given to us. Because we have put our faith and our trust in the only one who can grant it. Jesus, the one who was at the beginning of time, who was all through time and will be at the very end and all through eternity. Christ is the only one who can forgive us of our sins. Christ the Lord, who paid the debt penalty for our sins. is the only one that can say this one is with me. And the way the Bible tells us is that we put our faith and our trust in Him. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him, that is putting faith and trust in Him, will not perish but have everlasting life. And it's as simple as this. You ever walked across one of those swinging bridges? That's one of my favorite things to do, right? I love to go hiking and get on those trails. And when you put that foot on that swinging bridge and it starts to move, you say, I don't know if I want to do this, right? Especially if it's the old kind, it's got rotten wood on it. I have been on one of those, and the boards broke out from under my feet because I'm a little dangerous and adventurous. But faith and trust is putting the faith and trust in that bridge that it will carry me through as long as I put one step in front of the other. I keep marching forward. Well, that's a very simple illustration, but it's the truth. Faith and trust is Jesus, is that we just reach out there and we trust that He and He alone will carry us through to everlasting bliss we call heaven with Him forever and ever and ever in glory. Isn't that awesome? You say, well, Brian, I just have a hard time believing all that. Well, may I just close in saying this? The day is coming. The Bible tells us. I believe the day is closer than it ever has been. But even if we don't see that day in our lifetime, guess what we're going to face? We're going to face death, right? There's not one of us in this room that will either not see the judgment or not face death. It's just a reality. So here's the reality. If we're going to face death, we got to get prepared for it, right? I often wonder why people go to all this trouble with wills and go to all this, and I have a will. I think it's important. But why do we go to all this trouble with wills? Why are there people in Congress that are 80 years old that are still trying to steer the world? They're not going to be with us forever, right? We as Christians ought to want to make this world a better place. But here's the deal. We can do all we can to prepare for our death on this side of heaven, but if we don't prepare for our death on the other side of eternity, what is it really going to matter? And the only way to prepare for it is to accept the truth of Jesus Christ and to trust Him as Lord and Savior. So you may be here today and you have never done that. You've lived your own way. You've gone your own way. You said, you know, I'm just going to live however I want to. But I'm not going to accept Jesus as Savior. I'm just going to wait till that day and I'm going to get there. The valley of decision is not a time for you to make the decision. It's time for God to make the decision. And when you and I stand before God, it's all over with. It's in that moment that He will say whether we're righteous or not. The only way we'll be righteous is through Jesus Christ, the Lord. You say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I try to live right. Your goodness is filthy rags in front of God Almighty. You can be good all you want to, but the goodest person in here is still rotten, right? Because we have sin. It's a disease. And the fruit of sin is what? Hell. The only way to be cleansed and healed from the disease is Jesus Christ alone, the healer of the soul. So the preacher asked you this morning, are you ready for the judgment day?